Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this gathering online. Thank you for being here through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS Radio, for making it possible. We are here worldwide live. My name is Gijs Minderhout, calling from Magalia, California. This is a simulcast, as usual, with a conference call. We have some people with us on the phone line. We're still waiting for our host, Winfrey, to show up. We had two more people join in here in the last minute. I welcome you both. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heis. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Hello, good evening, Eric. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Who else joined in? We welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Eric,
but only if you want to. We welcome
Bistro.
You.
Eric, you ever eat at the Backstreet Bistro?
Yeah, that's a wonderful place. That's a great spot.
There's on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I covered it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're on there.
We had two more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, Rick, Iowa City.
Hello, Rick. Good evening to you, and welcome over here.
Yeah, thank you. Good to hear you.
All right. Good to have you here, man. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Mr. John, welcome to the call.
Well, Mr. Heis.
Thank you for being here.
Miss Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry Brown. Welcome.
Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi there. Wins in Phoenix.
All right.
And he should be here shortly.
All right.
He didn't send out an email, but I think he's going to have Terry Friedman on.
All right.
Yeah.
I sent Wynn an email. I was wondering if Terry Friedman is getting his 90 essential nutrients.
I know. I thought of that. Hold on, Wynn's calling.
All right. So I'm looking forward to hear Uncle Terry. Hopefully that's going to happen. And then you see when Wynn does not send the email out, then we have quite a few less people joining in on the phone line, probably also on BBS. However,
hey, Heis, did you know that the Dutch invented the first stock market?
Say, what about the stock market?
The Dutch invented it.
The stock market, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I just read that.
I didn't know that.
They invented a lot of things every so often, though.
Yeah.
Some interesting thing that was discovered in Holland, invented, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Wynn's calling in now.
All right, fantastic.
Okay.
You'll need to, Don, back to you. The odd thing with the stock market is that the way I experience it is that it's not really based on numbers, you know. It's more like emotional decisions rather than factual-based decisions.
I think it's a big scam. Because,
it is. It is.
People on the inside know what's going on, so they always make out the money. And you're just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the book I was reading by Les Theopold, he was on Coast to Coast recently. The book is called How to Make $1 Million an Hour.
Yeah.
By being a hedge fund manager.
Yeah. Good evening and welcome to the call, Wynn.
Hello, Heis.
Welcome.
Okay.
You sound loud and clear. Good. A good beginning.
I do. You know, I didn't send out a email today, so people still found their way to the call, right?
No, it's only you and I.
And right. Oh. And Terry, I hear Terry giggling.
Oh, okay, Teddy's
now
going
I gotta figure. How do I put this on speaker? I got to figure out how to put this on speakerphone.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yes. No, not as good though.
Is that better now?
It's better now. Yes.
Okay, I put it on the speakerphone because I am in Terry's bedroom here,
right,
with this beautiful old lady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said you were what did you say you were? She's not old.
I'm just a young chick.
She's a young chick.
Yeah.
She's old.
And I lie a lot, too.
You lie a lot. Okay. Well, good. You'll get right. You'll get along really well with Terry. How old are you, Terry? 39? You and Jack Benny, right?
43.
43.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, hi, you're on the console, right?
Yes.
Good, because I'm not. So.
All right. I'm going to first turn the dings off. Hold on.
Okay. Leave the lines open for just a moment, okay? Tell me when we're recording.
Are you ready for that?
Is today January 11th?
Yes.
Yep.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're being recorded. Hey, everybody, this is January 11th, 2016, and this is Wynn in Phoenix, and I'm in Terry Friedman's bedroom with this lovely lady who lives here as well, named Patty. And now I'm making myself conscious. Right?
No.
Put her on the air.
Not at all.
And I the only way to do this call was to do it. Was to be in Terry's room and. Every time I visit Terry, everything goes wrong on the call. So hopefully that won't be the case. And are the lines open now?
Hi. Yes, they are.
Hey guys, I want you to say hello to Terry Friedman and Patty. Okay, go ahead.
Hi Terry.
Hi guys.
Hello Terry.
Hello.
Hello. And hello
Terry.
Patty.
Hey.
Much love to you guys.
And all you guys that are on the internet listening, you can just think hello. Come on, send your energy into Terry's room, all right? Just send the energy into his room.
Right.
Can you feel the energy come in? When I said that, I could feel it. And thank you for doing that. In case there's anyone new on the line, Terry is this guy who's trying to make a quick buck by telling people he was Matthew. It didn't work. It was a big scam. And so he ran out of money, and he was living in a nursing home. And then he said, Wynn, maybe I can get you in on a scam with me.
You lie. You lie. This guy lies, I want you to know.
So I thought we'd just do a call with Terry here in the room. We have, you know, one of the things is when I do things with Terry, no matter who he was, it really doesn't, because in spite of his human side being as defective as everyone else's, he knows how to bring in the Christed energy. He feels it. When it comes in, he starts to glow. And I think that's the amazing thing. And it's the way that you validate something, not by a claim. It really doesn't matter that I say that I'm talking to the Elohim or that Terry was saying Catherine. I mean, it might matter just because it makes people curious and say, what the hell's going on with that guy? But really, what's amazing is the energy that comes in to what we do. And the energy, and I know many of you feel it, the energy kind of comes down from the rooftops, it comes down from the sky, it comes and sits around your body, and suddenly there's all this love, and even people that shouldn't get along start getting along, like me and Terry. We spent quite a bit of time arguing when we first met. Isn't that right, Terry?
Right.
Right. So, but intrinsically, I could feel that energy from Terry, and he wasn't sure if I wasn't a scam artist. And isn't that true, Terry?
Right.
You never admitted that before, but I know you thought it, right? I could feel him thinking it. So that's why it's a validation. That energy is a validation that a human can't produce. I can't produce it. And no matter what anyone claims or says, when you're checking other people out, if you do, I mean, whether it's Archangel Michael or Archangel Raphael or whoever channels, you know, unless that energy is there, then it's a lesser source. It's not necessarily bringing in the Christed energy. And Terry, I think, feels it now, even on his grumpy days when he comes into these calls and he says, I don't feel good. I don't want to be on the call. Every time he comes on the call, the energy shifts and he does really well. And for those of you that are coming to the Saturday calls, we just have to thank Marilyn and Marilyn for holding the space for Terry to be on the call. And this is totally off the wall. We'll see what's going to happen. I'll tell you what happened as I came over here. Today's been a Mercury in retrograde day. And everywhere I go, the internet's breaking down. I was trying to get these emails out, and the internet, Starbucks didn't work. The internet at Motel 6 stopped working. The internet and my phone stopped working. And I said, okay, it's a Mercury retrograde day, or I got the negative chasing me, and they don't want the email to go out. So I just said, I'm going to flow with it. And I came over to Terry just moved to a new nursing home. And he's not convinced that this is true yet, but I think this home is going to be better than the last place. It's small. It's got 6 people in it. And I walked in the door, and there was this lovely lady kind of glowing at me, sitting at the dining room table. And started talking to her, and, as she kept glowing, I said, you come from a religious background, don't you? And she said, yes. I said, what religion? And she said, Lutheran. What was
Methodist.
It? Methodist. Okay, Heis, you can mute everybody for the moment, okay?
Okay.
I just wanted everybody to say hello.
The conference has been locked. The conference has been unlocked. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
There we go. And so I started talking to Patty, and I just told her that I thought she had a really good energy, and I asked her if she could feel the energy with me, and she said she could. Now, I didn't go out and start telling her all this stuff, and it's going to make her think I'm crazy, right? I just, the thing about the Christed energy, you don't have to know all this to get it. And even though she comes from a religious background, she was feeling the energy and I was feeling her energy. And we were just talking about things about caring for Terry and how this one lady here wouldn't give up her dinner seat See, this is all the 3D stuff. She wouldn't give up her dinner seat so Terry could sit at the table, because Terry needed a special seat to push his wheelchair in there. And she was just really liking Terry. And, of course, she didn't know anything about Terry. So this is like, you know, that was a half hour ago, approximately. We kept talking, and then Terry told her something about reincarnation. And then she said, "Is there a book?" And I started telling her a little bit about reincarnation. And by the time the night's over, I'll bet she believes in reincarnation. But we'll go further. You'll see. I'll blow your mind.
We'll see.
Yeah, you don't have to believe it. I'll just show you some things. Usually, the thing that really is most convincing is the pictures of people and their past lifetimes, because there's no way you could make that up. But you really don't have to believe in reincarnation to participate in what you call the Christ energy. You don't have to believe in it. It just so happens for some of us that are older souls who have had obstacles, it helps to understand how we created our life now when it's screwed up. It can help. But for somebody that really is connected with the Christed energy, it kind of erases the past lives to a large extent. They're still there, but they're in the past. They're really not there. They're only there if you're still working out karma from those lifetimes. And, you know, I thought I'd let... See, this, we can have this call, and I have someone here that has never even been exposed to anything like we're doing here, right? Is that right?
That's right.
And I felt comfortable enough letting her be here on the call, because, the thing about the Christ energy is that it includes people. It doesn't exclude anybody. When you're in the energy, it doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter whether it's through this religion, that religion. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you call it the Christ energy. But because when somebody is having it, they're doing it, and there's a feeling that goes with it, and you can feel that love in their heart, and they can feel the love in your heart. And for some people, they have to look for it. It hasn't happened automatically yet. They haven't come into anything in their life that brings them into that energy. So our work actually helps people, their logical minds, say, geez, this must be real. But, you know, it doesn't mean because somebody has come to it in another way that it is lesser than. It's not. It's the same energy. And, Patty, why don't you tell us, now you're going to be famous, okay? We got all these people listening to us, right? And, why don't you share a little bit of were you brought up a Lutheran?
No, Lutheran, Methodist.
A Methodist.
Why don't
you think you're a
Lutheran? Well, my father's parents were Methodist, and my mother's parents, her father was a minister in what was called the Fire Baptized Church, which was pretty fanatical. And so my parents themselves never attended church because they couldn't believe in the Fire Baptized Church, but my mother couldn't go to another church because it would have upset her father. But as I grew up, I started going to the Methodist Church and felt comfortable, and I raised my children there, and I still believe. Maybe it's just because I feel comfortable. I'm really not sure why I chose the Methodist Church.
You know, there's two things about a church that are good, okay?
Okay.
One thing is It creates a community that's based on high principles, okay?
Right.
And second of all, it can bring somebody into the Christed energy. And that depends, in my opinion, on the minister, not the religion. The minister is the person who holds the space to bring in the Christ. And, you know, if somebody is a hell-raising Bible thumper,
right,
it may not work. Okay, everybody, right now, we're just going to heal you all, and yep. Jesus, come in. Well, it might work at a lower level, but usually it ends up with give us donations and don't go to hell, okay? Do what we yep. say or you're going to go to hell. Follow these precepts. And, you know, what we're doing here is not based on any beliefs. I don't have any beliefs. Everything I have learned, almost everything, has been experiential. And it's hard to believe. But I said to myself when I was young, I said, I'm not just going to believe something. I got to prove it to myself. Now, a religion would tell you, don't try to prove it, go on faith. But that was not good enough for me. And I had that feeling all my life, and I kept learning things. And now I'm sharing the things I've learned with people, and they're studying my material, and they're taking me apart. And some of them, most of them, you know, it's kind of like, it's very compelling, the story that I've had. Even the story with Terry Friedman. And I've got you guys all on speakerphones, so Terry can hear me, and you can hear Terry. And, Terry, I got a question for you. Is Jesus really talking to you?
Yeah.
Yeah? How do you know?
It's an inner feeling. It's a deep inner feeling. A conviction that I have. I recognize him, who he is. I recognize him.
You do?
Yes, I do.
And you recognize the deep friendship you had.
That's correct.
It comes back, even That's though correct. It was in the past. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think Jesus likes what we're doing now?
Oh, sure.
He does?
Sure.
Someday he's going to talk to us through you.
I don't know about that. But
if he wants to, and if you want him to. Both of you have to want that. Okay. I mean, if you thought you were crazy before, that'll really push you over the edge, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, Patty has not read Terry's book, but she's gotten curious enough to want to read it.
Absolutely.
And do you know, I put the book out to my group. And we, you know, I have a fairly large group of people that are paying attention to it, to what I'm doing. And see, I wasn't competitive with Terry. When I, it's like, I'm not competitive, not a one bit. I have to be careful that I don't bring anything negative in, because if you're doing something from the Christed energy, and you know, sometimes I don't always say the Christed energy, because some people think that means this is a Christian group, and in the highest sense of the word, I would say it was a Christian group, but in the highest sense. And the reason I don't use it is because it's totally non-denominational. The real blessing of the work we're doing is the energy that comes in, mm-hmm. and that people on my calls feel this energy all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they can't see me. And even if when I'm having a bad day, I mean, I'm human. I go through good days and bad days. Even when I'm having a bad day, and I say, I better not go on tonight. Everyone's going to know I'm going to have a bad day. They still come in, and the energy comes in. And then people start feeling, having little miracles. And little, you know, you should see the emails I get from people. People who were religious, but then started rejecting religion because it had too much rigidity to it for them. And they started coming into my calls, and it explained the parts of religion that were rigid. And that doesn't mean You can't use religion to find God and to find spirit. You can. It's just that, in my opinion, you know, it's like taking the best out of it. You just don't ever be a totally blind believer, because until you validate something for sure, like, for example, as I was studying all this stuff, I found out that I'm not trying to lecture you. I hope you can argue with me, even say anything you want, okay? But like in the Bible, there were a lot of indications that seemed to indicate reincarnation, and most people don't look at it. But if you look at it carefully enough, for example, Terry knows this one. Terry, didn't they say, you once were Elijah, and now you're John the Baptist? You know about that one?
Yeah.
Well, it says, you once were Elijah, and now you're John the Baptist. Now, what is Jesus saying there?
What does it say that?
It's in the Bible. Go look it up. Okay? I'll send it to you. I don't remember. I looked it up. And it's on the internet. There's people that have actually done studies. Go and Google search the Bible and reincarnation, and you'll find all the things that pertain to reincarnation in it. You'll be surprised. There's another thing, you know, about the blind kid. Remember that story? There's a thing where there was a baby that was born blind. And I believe Jesus said, or somebody asked Jesus.
Well, the person asked Jesus, well, why was I born blind? Did I sin? How could I sin with a child? So, you know.
Did I sin or did my parents sin?
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, the idea was, the idea of reincarnation actually was more prevalent then. It really was. And the idea was that I sin, and if he sinned, it had to be in a poor life. It couldn't have been in that life because he was a baby, right? He was born that way. You know, there's a lot of questions like this that religion doesn't address, you know? It's just like, why would God give you one life and then that's it, to go to heaven or hell, right? Why would he do that? That would be pretty unfair, God. Because the same God said the sins of the parents are visited upon the children. Remember that one? That's in the Bible, right? What does that mean? It means that if you're brought up with a bunch of drug dealers as parents and prostitutes and thieves, there's a really good chance you're going to end up that way, okay? And it's not written in stone, because many people have had parents that were like that, and they rose above it, and they came out really great people and really spiritual people. But a person that comes from a loving family, I am sure, has much more probability of being a spiritual person, even though there's people that come from loving families that end up being thieves and drug dealers as well. But a person comes from a loving family has more chance of being spiritual, and a person that comes from a degenerate family has more chance of being not.
There's no coincidence.
Huh?
There's no coincidence.
No.
A person decides to come in with a family, they're content with who their parents are, in other words. They're there for a reason.
Well, they pick those parents because that's what they're comfortable with, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, somebody that comes from a background of being a thief and being somebody that takes advantage of other people, their soul will look for a family to come into. This is my... that's like that, because they feel comfortable there, okay?
Right,
But you can't agree because you're not sure of reincarnation.
But I do believe if the child comes from a loving, devoted family, they're going to have a better chance to live that same life.
Exactly.
But also, I have seen many times it goes vice versa.
Right. No, I said that. It's like anyone can rise above their circumstance.
Right.
But it's not as easy to do that. It's not easy to rise above your circumstance.
But there's also many cases where they come from the good, loving family, but the child goes on his own way.
That's right. So, you know, it's we're not trying to offer proof here. I'm just saying
if there's
a loving God, then why would a loving God create a system where people come into the system handicapped and then screw up and then doom them to hell? Do you follow?
Yeah.
That's what, for me, that's one of the things that makes not sense in normal religion. The idea that if you have a loving God, people can get chance after chance after chance. Just as if somebody has children and their children screw up, oftentimes they have to forgive their children's screw-ups and give them more chances to be loving. So as above, so below. So, you know, everybody likes it when I get Terry talking. Should I get you talking, Terry? Terry just, he looks at the ceiling and shrugs his hands. And, you know, part of Terry dreads when I come to visit him, because I always start talking to the other people here, and I kind of blow his cover, because there's no way for Terry to walk around telling people, well, I was Matthew. And it's understandable, because they transfer him from here to the loony bin, right? And so, so I can talk about it, as you guys know. And whenever I do, and somebody then starts being curious, I better, you know, particularly Patty, who is a Christian, now she's going to read Terry's book, and then somebody expects more from Terry, which is a mistake, right? Not really. That's not really a mistake, because when people expect more from you, you rise to the occasion, you know? So my job is to raise people's expectations.
I believe with Terry, it's not that we just feel he has so much more to give.
That's right. He does.
And I have known him just a week or so, and he's already given me a lot. You can just tell it's there.
Well, you know, he does have a lot to give. It's just that it has to break the ice.
Right.
It has to break the ice. It's hard to break the ice because, truthfully, he is very old, advanced, and it's hard to find the pathway to share that with other people if they don't ask you, okay? It's hard to open the door, because if you try to open the door yourself, even I have trouble opening the door for myself, because, you know, you can't make a claim and say, I'm this, I'm that, I'm doing this. You know, I'll share with you, like, one of the things that happened to me, and I'll show you a picture later. You know, I have my dear friend Terry, who's on the line right now, and we live together in Sedona. And I'm not telling you the whole story, but one day a voice started communicating with me through Terry, and they said,
clarified,
female Terry, not Terry. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And they said they were the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and it was one of the names for God in the Old Testament, and also the name the Mormons used.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm very skeptical. I didn't believe it because they said it, okay? But they didn't ask me to do anything. They didn't say to go tell the world you're talking to the Elohim. They just said to ask them questions.
Right.
So during the, I'm not telling, I'm abbreviating the story, but I'm asking questions. I'm asking all kinds of questions, and they're answering everything. How does prayer work? I figured if they are who they say they are, maybe they can explain this to me. And so they did. They explained everything to me. And then I put it in a book. Oh, one of the things they did was they did a medical miracle with my sister, because I asked them. And I wrote a book about it. And I give the book away for free. And, you know, when I ask them, do you really like it when people worship you? They said, no. They said, we're like your big brother. We're like a higher aspect of yourself. We can help you. And we honor free will, so you have to ask us for help. But they're not worshiping us, puts us on a pedestal, makes us separate, and we're actually part of you. We're inside you. Then they call something called the One Infinite Creator, which is one notch above them. But it's the same thing. They explain how creation worked in a way that you have never heard it. So you can read Terry's book, and then you can read my book, and then it's going to give you a big headache. But you know, about it is, you are an old soul. You are. I can tell. You can look at people and you can have immediate compassion, right? And that doesn't have to do with believing in Jesus. That's your own quality. Do you follow?
Yes.
And then you're very kind to other people and you try to help them. And I could see all that about you just by sitting there in a couple minutes at the dining room table, okay? And, you know, not everybody that goes to church has that quality. That is not a church quality. That doesn't even have to do with believing in Jesus. That has to do with being a very old soul. And, you know, the stupid thing about reincarnation is every time you have a new life, your memory is blank, but you carry your same soul. So if you're an old soul, you can have those qualities while still having no memory of it. But if you start to look at the qualities, you can recognize in other people when somebody's an old soul. And an old soul doesn't even have to be good. They can be evil because they know how to the tricks of the world, okay? They know how the world works, and they know how to manipulate it. And if they choose that path, then they can still be an old soul and be screwing up and develop, you know, disconnection from God. Okay? But you're connected. In any case, let's let Terry talk. He doesn't know what he's going to say, just shrugging his hands, saying, what should I say? I'm moving closer to the bed here. And here we go. You just stay there. You want to sit up?
I'm sitting up.
Okay.
Okay.
I got to ask him a question.
Yeah.
So, Terry.
Yes?
I'm getting up to it. I'm thinking of a good question. You know, you were walking around with Jesus. You don't have to believe any of this. You got to validate it yourself, okay? You know, I mean, but I got a lot of people on the call that have talked to Terry. We have a special call on Saturdays. They've read his book. And for some reason, Terry, they love you.
I don't know why.
You don't know why.
I do the best I can. That's all I can do. Try to be as Jesus asked me to live. And that's the 12 of us to live in this way. And that's what I've always tried to do. That's it.
You remember how it felt to be walking around with all the disciples, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Tell me, did any of the disciples go off and have girlfriends while they were walking around?
Mostly not. They're pretty committed to our project, but you know, many times we had a lot of very, very nice ladies
groupies.
Yeah, following along and cookie dinners and, you know, pretty well helping us in our daily chores and so forth. So they're pretty open to playing the role as a good support system to it.
So they were being like the feminine support system.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not that relationships are bad. They're good, as you know.
Yeah.
But when you're in a group like that, it pulls the energy from the group energy into a personal, private energy. And it's probably not easy to do that without destroying the ambience of the group, right?
Yes, I would imagine, but most of them knew that at a higher level and was very, very committed to helping the group and helping Jesus as well as us.
Nobody's ever asked you these kind of questions before, have they?
No, they have not.
If you don't want to answer, you don't have to, okay? But one of the things is I would imagine that when you were traveling around, there was such a high energy that people didn't feel the need for relationships. They didn't, it lifted them above their lower chakras, and they felt completed without the need, even though they had nothing, right? They were just living.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty well true. That's pretty well true. Yeah.
Did you ever look at a woman and say, geez, maybe she would sleep with me?
Not really.
Terry's not going to talk about this stuff on a Saturday, right? And you did see Jesus do some miracles.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them publicly, yeah?
That's right.
And all the townspeople came around to watch him, right?
Yes. In many cases, his ability and his energy went before him, and the townspeople knew about him already.
Mm-hmm.
Were very impressed. It was quoted that he could do a lot of things, a lot of miracles he could perform. So, knew about him already.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to the town.
Now, I'm sure Jesus is paying attention to us now, is he not?
Of course.
So let's just think hello to Jesus. Could we do that? We can just think it.
What?
I'm telling everybody to think hello out there, out there in Radio Land.
Okay.
And, I mean, they could ask Jesus for a blessing right now, yes?
Yes.
Because he's paying attention to people through you.
Yeah.
So why don't you just ask for a special blessing from Jesus to connect with you? Is that okay? Am I asking, is that okay to ask that? No?
I'm not sure what your question is.
I'm not asking a question. I'm asking the people in our group to just, you know, send a message up to Jesus of love. That's, I mean, Jesus, Jesus can't mind that, right?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And, I mean, we've never done that before because we don't really focus on Jesus because I'm a public figure and this is not a religion, okay? We're not doing a religion. You can't do a religion as a public figure unless you're Billy Graham, I guess. But I'm not Billy Graham, and I'm not going to be Billy Graham. So, you know, the fact that Jesus, you know, is paying attention to us. You know, you guys on the Saturday call, when you're talking of Terry's book, take a moment and just ask for Jesus' blessing. Because can you feel the energy come? Get strong when I say that. Huh? You feel it?
You'll have to excuse me. I'm going to have to go and treat myself.
Okay.
My leg.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, okay?
Oh, I wish I could stay.
Okay.
I'll see you later, Terry.
All right. Let's see what time it is, Terry. What time is it? 7:42. So, Hang on. I gotta make sure my battery stays charged. There we go. My battery is about to. I got to make sure it stays on this charger.
Just put it over here.
Okay, we're just rearranging stuff.
It's not going to work.
Okay, I'll bring it over there.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things about Terry, I hope we're still on. Let's see here.
Yes, you're still on.
Okay, thank you, Terry.
Okay.
You know, I always tell people it is so interesting that we have so many people who are kind of sharing in our group that have some kind of really amazing connection with Jesus, okay? Now, you know, I didn't. I was brought up Jewish, and I did read the New Testament when I started studying religions and spiritual things. And I remember when I studied the New Testament, there were all these things that Jesus said that I said, I know that. I know what that means. I understand it. And I was amazed because I didn't expect to find that. I expected to find Jesus in the way that religion presented him, something to believe in and something to have faith in. But I had already traveled around the country and had all these little synchronicities, and I was starting to get an inkling of how everything worked at the beginning stages. But I didn't really understand it. But you okay? Okay. I didn't really understand it. And I kept saying, I need to know more. And boy, did I get to know more. In any case, it is always just an incredible blessing, honor, to be talking to Terry. And he doesn't, if you notice, Terry doesn't even have to talk, because when he's present, and I'm talking, when two or more are gathered, I am also present. That's what Jesus said. And that is this incredible energy. But it's the Christed energy. And it's not necessarily the persona of Jesus. But the incredible thing with Terry Friedman is that we get that energy present, but I also get the feeling of Jesus being present in his own persona, his own consciousness, and paying attention to us. And that's different than the Christed energy. The Christed energy is something that, how would I say it, is
very special.
It's special.
And
but Jesus doesn't have to be present.
Very, very inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the case with Terry,
very powerful, right?
The Christed energy is present, and Jesus is present. And when I said that, I got the vibe back telling me, yes, I am. Did you guys hear it? Terry Brown.
Yes.
Can you hear what I'm talking about?
Yes. Good. Can you hear me?
Good.
We can hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Good. Okay.
Now, of course, Terry was St. Catherine. Again, I was talking about all the people in our group that have been connected to Christianity, from Terry as St. Catherine to Carla, who was going to her church every Sunday while she was channeling the raw material, which I thought was an incredible incongruity, because from a church point of view, the raw material would have been demonic. But, you know, when people asked her about it, she would say, well, this is for people that need more understanding than just connecting with Jesus. And Edgar Cayce was a fundamentalist Christian. David Wilcock was not, okay? But his sources said, we came to you in Christianity, our religion. I mean, it's an incredible, you know, you guys know, because you've tracked this as it was unfolding. People that have been on the conference calls for the last 4 or 5 years have watched this unfold bit by bit publicly as we kept getting more insight into how all of this works. And we have about 6 minutes. Why don't we open up the lines and see if anyone wants to say something or ask something. But, you know, don't consider Terry a Bible scholar, although he does know a lot about the Bible. Don't, the thing most that Terry has is he has the direct memory of being with Jesus and how it felt. And he has the memory. And I really suggest if you're on this call and you haven't read Terry's book, go to themanwhowalked.com. And you can see some videos of me talking to Terry. And you can also sign up for free excerpts from the book. And you can buy the PDF for only $5. And you owe it to yourself to read it, because it's incredible the way that it's like a movie unfolds of really being with Jesus. And it doesn't take away from the Bible. It just adds to it, in my opinion.
You do have the hard copy available as well, Wim?
We have the hard copy available for $19.95, okay? And
all callers are unmuted.
You know, there was a point where the book was unavailable. And do you know, there's a small little cult on Amazon, buyers, sellers, that were selling the book for $150. Remember that, Terry? Yeah. So there is somewhere a buzz going on that the book is real. And anybody want to say anything on the call?
Thank you, Dr. Terry.
About reincarnation, didn't there used to be a lot more about reincarnation in the Bible that was deleted? Maybe it's Council of Nicaea or something?
Yeah. That's correct. Reincarnation used to be talked about in the Bible, but they took it off.
Yeah, right.
They took it off.
You know, for those that are not aware, I think it was 200 or 300 years after the Bible came out, there was a council, Sia, that went and re-edited. The council was made up of church members, right?
Yeah.
And they re-edited.
And some royalty.
They re-edited the entire Bible.
Yeah.
And my take is that they wanted to use the Bible and Jesus to control people. And so, you know, having the idea of heaven and hell and taking out reincarnation, it put a much greater potential for control by doing that, okay?
Because they thought they only had to give them the impression that they only had one life to get it right, to experience God and so forth. And actually, we have many lifetimes in which to do that. And they wanted not to give people an option of doing another life, mm-hmm. but we do have.
Yeah. Anybody else want to say anything or ask anything?
Who are you going to interview next week?
It depends where I end up, okay? You know what? If you notice, I don't interview people. I don't go looking out to interview people. And the reason is the only people that I want to associate with on this show, on these calls, are people that I can feel the Christed energy with. Otherwise, it becomes worldly. People want exposure. I mean, I could do it. I could be an interesting interviewer and find people that do this and do that and do the other thing. But I wasn't even planning on interviewing Terry tonight.
Terry Brown.
Huh?
I think we should hear from Terry Brown.
Terry Brown. Well... Maybe one night
I
we'll
hear
interview
your giggle.
Terry.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's getting much more talkative. She's getting much more courageous, you know, and less shy. And what would you like to ask Terry Brown, if you could?
Her side of your story.
That would be an interesting story. Because
her side of what story?
The story of our group, the group coming together and channeling the Elohim.
That would be an interesting story. Yeah.
Well, we could start that. I remember when it first happened, but Terry should answer. Tell people what happened when... it's 1955. It's five of... We should stop now. Okay? We can take one more minute, Terry. You can answer that. Why don't you share what happened?
In 1995, I was studying channeling with Cheryl Taylor, who was a police psychic and very, very good. And I tried to get one interested. He took me over there one day, and I said, come on in. It's going to start. You'll love it. And he said, no, I don't want to go in. Then after he met Daphne, and Daphne was started channeling, I attended a channeling that Daphne gave, and I asked the question if I might channel the Elohim, and they said yes. And then after Daphne left, I was with Wynn, and I could feel the pressure and recognize the vibrations, like knock, knock, knock on the side of my head, on the right side. And so I recognized that was the same entity, the Elohim, that Daphne was channeling. And I asked, they asked me, they said they wanted to talk to Wynn. And I said, Wynn's sleeping. Maybe you could talk to me and we'll get to know each other. But in their immense wisdom, they were really right. They said, we want to talk to Wynn. And so I woke him up and got the tape recorder out, and we started channeling it. And he asked me endless questions after that, just all the time. I want to do a channeling now. And we taped it off. And so that's a little bit of that.
We need to leave BBS, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, well, it's 1957. We're 2 minutes over time. So, listen, let's bring this call to a close. And I thank Terry Friedman for putting up with me. And everyone want to say goodbye to Terry and send some good energy into his little room at his new house.
Thank you, Uncle Terry. Much love to you, my friend.
Love to you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry. And Wynn.
Terry.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry Friedman, Terry Brown.
Well, good night.
We'll see you Wednesday. Come up with your questions, okay?
Yep.
All right.
Ta-da.
Your conference recording has stopped.